Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better than this because the draft is a week from Thursday, chance to sit down for 3 days and watch 256 players go to different teams, but nobody, I repeat, nobody knows the draft historically, currently better than Gil Brandt. And Gil, thanks for joining us on Schooled with the Professor.
Hey, John, it's my pleasure to be on with you. You are one of the all-time greats. When I pick my all-time media team, you're going to be the first guy selected. You'll be my bonus choice.
As long as it doesn't require any athletic ability, because as far as that goes, I have none.
All right, well, we'll get you back to Pittsburgh.
Okay, that'll be great. And by the way, I'm still kind of going back over the fact that I didn't have a chance to tell you this, but when I went back to Pittsburgh last for the Dan Rooney Symposium and a speaking thing, Braddock, PA, my hometown, named the day March 18th after me. And of course, we had a big ceremony and all that different stuff. And one of the few remaining restaurants is down there. And the great part about the whole thing is that the mayor, who is a real popular guy, said they would have given me the key to the city, but somebody stole it.
Well, that's a good excuse.
Exactly. No doubt about it.
Congratulations. Well
thank
deserved.
You. Hey, so let's go into this draft. I know you've been right about it on NFL.com, talking about it all this time. I mean, is this one of the more unique fun drafts because of the quarterback that maybe you've seen since 1983?
You know, John, I think it's one of the most unique drafts of all time. And I say that because I think that, number one, I think if you put 10 guys in a room and said pick the first six picks in order, I doubt if anybody would have them the same. It's a draft that the four quarterbacks and possibly five, just depends on who wants to take a chance on Lamar Jackson and developing him, because, you know, there's a lot there to develop, and we're now getting that RPOs, as they call them, quarterback. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see somebody like New England come along at the end of the first round and take a guy like Jackson. So we could very easily have five go in the first round. But I think it's an interesting question about the quarterbacks, because I think they all bring a different dynamic to the field. I think if you could take Allen and you knew that he was going to complete 65% of his passes or 62% of his passes in the National Football League, he'd probably be the first guy selected. He's got the most potential. He's the biggest hit, the biggest miss is what he is. You know, he's got the intelligence, he's got athletic ability, everything, but he can't throw his ball straight. Number two, Rosen. Rosen is probably the most ready to play, to step in and play on a team and help them win tomorrow. And you know all of the stories about Rosen, which are all really made-up stories or fabricated stories. You know, I've had a lot of time with him, and he's anything but a smartass, as somebody referred to him as. With Sam, the quarterback from USC, you know, he's had a great year in 2016, and then 2017, they didn't have Schuster Smith there, and his performance wasn't quite as great, is what it is. And then, of course, the guy with the biggest question mark of all, and to me, the guy that we're going to talk about here is really Drew Brees coming out of college, and that's Baker Mayfield. They're both about the same height. Both had 70% accuracy. Those are four guys, and in what four order they're going to go, I'm not sure. And I think if you call around to people in the league, nobody's sure for sure what's going to happen. And then, of course, the most interesting thing of all is the number two pick. Because the Giants sit there, and they're really in the catbird seat. You know, if the quarterback's there, they could take a quarterback. They got a great running back available to them, and they probably got a great parcel of draft choices. And this is a draft that has got good players in it. We don't have guys that we can say, this guy is definitely, John Clayton's definitely going to go in the first round. You know, sometimes we have 22 or 25 of those guys. We have about 14 of those guys now. And not that the rest of these players aren't good players, but they're just not dead cinches like we have some years.
Yeah. The guy that also intrigues me, because, you know, I kind of, what I did at the top is I kind of break up the teams and how they want quarterbacks. And knowing John Dorsey as well as I do, I get the feeling, you know, it could be Josh Allen, it could be Sam Darnold, but it'll be one of those two. I think it probably could be Darnold, but we'll see how that goes later. Same thing for John Elway. I mean, John Elway, I think, would want the big, tall Josh Allen type if he's available at 5. Where the other teams like the Jets and maybe Buffalo trading up and all that, they would want the Mayfield-Rosen combination to get somebody that would come on the field a little bit quicker.
John, let me ask you a question. Go back to Denver a minute.
Yeah.
You don't think John Elway's playing blind man's bluff, do you? That he's saying that he's going to pick a quarterback and is looking for somebody to come up and give him a parcel of draft choices?
Well, my read on it would be, if Josh Allen's there, he takes Josh Allen. If Josh Rosen's there or Baker Mayfield's there, then he's going to go for the draft choices. Because I think that, you know, knowing how John likes to get his quarterbacks, I mean, he likes them big, he likes them tall, he likes them with a strong arm, and he tried the Paxton Lynch model, and that didn't work out. You know, Trevor Siemian really appealed to him, but again, he liked the strong arm. I just don't think he's going to go for the move-around quarterback or the Rosen-type quarterback. So I think the only quarterback, I mean, obviously if Sam Darnold's there, they take him, but he's not going to be there. So I would think he goes more for the Josh Allen type than he would. And if it's not Josh Allen, then he takes another position or trades down.
Josh Allen's come a long way for out of Fireball, California high school, a small high school, that ended up going to a junior college because that was the best offer he had.
No question. What is it about Sam Darnold? I mean, the fact that, I mean, I know last week on Schooled, we actually talked to the guy who was training him. And of course, they did such a good job in doing that. And Jordan Palmer was saying the one thing that's so different about Sam Darnold, he's so young. Like, for example, technically, you can't take him in a bar to get somebody to drink because he's not 21 years old.
Right. And you know, he's only had 3 years, too. And 1 year he didn't play. So he just really played 2 years is what it amounted to. And I think he's a solid football player. But when you look at Sam Darnold's background, both mother and father have great football, volleyball backgrounds in their family. In fact, one of the family was the Marlboro man, the original Marlboro man. Now, I don't know if that counts anything as far as being a quarterback is concerned.
Well, if he has a good quarter and he's smoking.
But it gives you an idea of what kind of a family he is.
Yeah, if he has a good quarter and he's smoking in a quarter like that, I guess it goes pretty well with completions.
Yeah,
and that's a great part. If he can get moving with that smoking going with a good quarter. But no, I mean, I don't know. It's just, and one thing that I think people don't appreciate is how much time you spend with the players, knowing their backgrounds, knowing their families, knowing where they come from and all that stuff, that gives you a perspective that very few people have.
Well, I think it's important. And that's why, you know, I love to talk to the mother, you know, especially after we invite the son to the draft. And the first question I ask of the mother is, now tell me, how many times would you estimate you drove your son to a little league practice and supplied the soft drinks? Oh, hundreds of times. Well, you know what? You're going to get paid back. Well, what do you mean by that? You're going to be able to walk the red carpet, as is what you're going to get, and that's going to be a payment for you. And you know, it's just unbelievable what that means to some of these families.
Call the local mortgage company who cares, Keel Mortgage. With timeless values and timely advice, Keel Mortgage has the longevity and experience to make all of your home purchase dreams come true. 888-778-KIEL or keelmortgage.com, CL53969.
Jim Moore Jr., I know that spent a bunch of time talking about his quarterback, Josh Rosen. What is it about the uniqueness of the personality? Because I know that you probably spend enough time with him that you get a good read on him. What is it that seems to polarize some, scare others, but also the good of Josh Rosen?
You know, John, it's like you asking questions. You know, you go on a radio show, and sometimes how many pro days have you been to? And, you know, just totally questions that, you know, that really shouldn't be even asked. And I think he's a question asker. I think he's an inquisitive guy, is what he is. And he's not one of these guys that say, that you tell him, say, okay, now I want you to throw a 10-yard out on third down and nine. Well, why? Why? I think that maybe, just maybe, he asks a lot of questions. Now, you know, you pick out games, and if you see him in the second half of the Texas A&M game this last year when they were down by about 35 points at halftime, I believe, and come back to win, you got to like him. The other thing that I like about him is this, and you're a great historian, how many quarterbacks start as true freshmen out of high school week one of the season like he did at UCLA as a true freshman? And how many of them win the first four or five games they play in, and seven of the first nine that they start in? You know, there's things like that that are meaningful to me, because this is not somebody that says, well, you know, I think he can do it. The guy's done it. You know, that's a pretty good conference they play in.
One thing, of course, is the great historian that you are. How do you see drafts changing, drafts now compared to, say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Do you see a change in a draft, or is everything pretty much the same?
Oh, it's a huge change, huge, huge change. You know, I think everybody used to prepare for the draft, you know, 3 days before the draft. Okay, we'll get together and have a little draft meeting, and, you know, here's some guys that should be picked in the first round, and here's some guys that should be picked in the second round. And an assistant coach comes in and he says, well, I really like this guy at Winona State. I think he should be a second-round pick. Right now, everybody is spending at least a month trying to get these guys in order. And by that, I mean, who's number one, who's number two, number three? And if you go down your board and you put them in plateaus, and by putting them in a plateau, let's just say you use the quarterbacks. There's four quarterbacks, and we put them in a plateau. You can take either one of them as a need, either one of the four as a need player. You know, head coaches. You know, Belichick. He must have been at 15 pro days. The Philadelphia Eagles, coming off of a world championship. I think that I called their general manager, Howie Roseman, and I said, Howie, you've got an unlimited budget, and you've exceeded it, because they are everywhere they're at. Their offensive line coaches everywhere. So people are working so much harder at it than ever before.
Yeah, the weird part about it, and this is a change that I just picked up in the last year, and particularly now this year, is that teams are giving up on their picks earlier than before.
Yeah.
Example, it's like, okay, you go right now, May 3rd is the day that you have to get the fifth-year options in for the 2015 draft, and already eight players, first-rounders from that draft, are no longer with their teams, traded, cut, or whatever, including about five at the bottom of the round. And what that's done now, it's increased the number of trades to a point where last year in March there were eight trades in, you know, whether it's draft or anything else, 25 trades so far this off season. And so it looks like, you know, as great as it is to build through the draft, people are making, you know, shorter term memories as far as some of these guys.
Well, you know, that old saying, take your first loss, it's your best loss. And I think we saw that with Seattle, with their first choice, actually was a second rounder, but their first choice of last year for Michigan State. I understand that they're going to waive him if they already haven't.
Malik McDowell, right, correct.
And what's, of course, taking place there is, yes, there's injuries involved, but also he just missed opportunities to do things. But, yeah, they're moving on quickly.
And, of course, it does seem more teams are tending to do that. And, of course, I guess also realizing as good as it is with the fifth-year option, what ends up happening is that sometimes that price becomes so much that to try to get ahead of it, I mean, teams now trade that first-round pick. I mean, we've seen it twice with Brandon Cooks. You know, we've seen it now with Calvin Benjamin, you know, guys from 2014 and that. And so you start to worry about, okay, if I want to keep this guy, it's going to cost this. And so it's like, okay, I better make another move.
Well, let me ask you a trivia question. you've been around doing this a long time. Can you ever remember a player being traded in back-to-back years for first-round choices?
No, I cannot. I mean, I'm sure that you probably have one or two.
I can't remember. That's why I asked you.
No, it's like, because, I mean, you know, to be able to pull a first-round choice is rare enough on one trade, but to do it back-to-back, you know, particularly knowing that, you know, that he comes from a crop of probably the greatest receiving group in 2014 in NFL history. I mean, I'm still shaking my head at Jarvis Landry, you know, going on the cheap to Cleveland and then getting a $15.5 million contract.
400 catches in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they gave up on him for cheap in Miami.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The other unique part about this draft is it seems, and not this draft, but other drafts too, I mean, you have ebbs and flows. Like, for example, I'm sure, I know you've written about it many times. Is this as good a running back class as we've seen since when?
Well, there's some very good running backs. You know, when we look at the two running backs at Georgia, when you think about Hurst and Todd Gurley, those are two great backs. Now, they got two backs at Georgia that have had better production than those two backs. And I'm talking about Nick Chubb for one and Sony Michel for another one. You know, we're talking about two big backs. Nick Chubb's a 230-pound back, and Michel is a 215-pound back. And that have been had production, and you know, really sharing, kind of sharing it. Then the question comes back to this: well, why in 4 years, Sony Michel only start four games? You know, you sometimes outsmart yourself and outthink yourself by knowing the guy's pretty good and saying, hey, look at, we're going to take this guy. Production alone makes it important. And the other thing, John, is I think this. You know, I have an opportunity to listen to you on weekends a lot of times. And to me, your production, because you really know what you're talking about. And I think that we have to do the same thing with players. You know, I always have to think about these players that somebody says, well, he didn't play for 3 years, but he was really our best back. But we had so-and-so ahead of him. You know, it's kind of like the Taberski situation a year ago, which is going to be interesting how it plays out. Because you wonder why Taberski, who's going to be the second pick in the draft, and yet he only started 13 games, why wasn't he able to beat out Williams, the quarterback at North Carolina, who didn't even have an opportunity to sign with an NFL team?
You know, one thing that you get yourself involved in so well, and it's such a great story, and this was one of the great stories of this year, is that, you know, you get involved in inviting guys to the draft because you kind of get an idea where they're going to go. And the guy that wasn't invited to the combine, that came to the combine and stole the combine, was Shaquem Griffin. You know, Shaquille Griffin's brother, who had the prosthetic arm and all that stuff and just wowed everybody. You got him to come to the draft, which kind of tells me he's going to go higher than most people think in this draft.
I think so. I think, you know, all you have to do is go back and see one play. Central Florida was an undefeated team last year. They played Auburn in a bowl game. Auburn was getting ready to win the game, and he made a play. He made an interception at the end. The guy makes plays. Now, how he does it, I don't know. But he makes plays. He runs fast. And, you know, it was one of my best invites ever, because when I talked to his mother, I wasn't able to talk to her for about a minute because she cried for a minute. She was so happy. She said, you have no idea how hard he has worked and to become a football player. And John, let me say it to you this way. We're doing a lot of nice things for the guys that we're bringing to the draft. As an example, each one of them gets two airplane tickets and a room for his high school coach. We're donating $2,500 to the school that he comes from. We're giving them two jerseys right after they're drafted that they can sign and donate back to the school. So we're getting these high schools involved, and I'll tell you something. What it means so much to high school coaches for the great job they do in our society today to get paid back just a little bit.
Hey, it means so much to me that you take this time out before the busy time before the draft to talk about the draft, the history, and all the things. Hey, Gil, thanks for joining us on Schooled with the Professor.
Thanks, and best wishes to Pat, your wife.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.